But we begin with a genuine cause for fear that is largely unseen. Domestic violence. Every 9 seconds in the U.S., a woman is assaulted or beaten. And that includes women of every class, race, ethnicity, and even celebrity status.
The only person they hate right now is him. It was a weird, confusing space to be in. Because as angry as I was, as angry and hurt and betrayed, I just felt like he made that mistake because he needed help. And like, who's going to help him?
Pop singer Rihanna there speaking this summer with Oprah Winfrey about her sympathy for her ex-boyfriend Chris Brown, who beat her up on the eve of the 2009 Grammy Awards. Rihanna's tears for her abuser and their kiss on stage at the Video Music Awards earlier this month sent WAGs, fans, and those fighting domestic abuse trading barbs and revealing common beliefs and justifications about the abuser and the abused. Here with her take on the complicated and often baffling emotional life of domestic abuse victims is Leslie Morgan Steiner. She's a writer who edited the best-selling anthology Mommy Wars, and Crazy Love is her memoir of a marriage to an abusive man who nearly killed her. Leslie, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're a very together, very accomplished woman, not somebody one would see on the street and think, oh, her ex-husband used to beat her up. Is there anything like a typical victim of domestic abuse?
Well, I think in many people's imagination there is. But the truth is that there is not. And, you know, I guarantee you that anytime you're in a room of people, there's somebody there who's being abused. Abuse is a hidden trauma, and education, intelligence, coming from a good family is no guarantee that you will not be abused. And it's one reason that I was abused is that I was so naive about it. Mm. And so maybe that's one thing that victims have in common, is that we're naive about how very common domestic violence is.
And I applaud your courage, first of all, for writing about it, because, you know, it's a hard thing to... I guess you're admitting some vulnerability, or that there's some sense that there was something about you that allowed this to happen.
Well, I think that's true. And it took me 10 years to write Crazy Love. And one reason it took so long was that there's a lot to understand there. And I wasn't ever ashamed of being a victim. I never thought it was my fault, but there's no denying that I was very traumatized by being abused, especially at the hands of somebody who I loved and who I was quite certain loved me.
Well, tell me about him. This is of your brief first marriage. Crazy
Yes.
Love is a memoir of that, to a man named Connor. When did you first suspect that something was wrong?
Way too late. I was 22 when we met. I just graduated from Harvard College. I was living in New York City, working at 710 Magazine. He was also an Ivy League grad working at an impressive Wall Street bank. And he was smart and funny and wonderful. And we were together for a long time before he first beat me. And the first incident was 5 days before our marriage. And I thought he would never do it again. And then he beat me twice more on the honeymoon. And he beat me throughout our marriage. And when I say beat me, I don't mean that he slapped me. He held guns to my head. He pushed me down the stairs. He pulled the keys out of the ignition while I was driving the car. It was a really terrifying situation. And by the time I realized what was happening, I was really deeply enmeshed in it. And it was very, very difficult to even contemplate leaving him.
It's a harrowing thing to read about. You know, you sort of trying to, you know, set your face right while you're going to meet other people. It's, you know, this inner struggle. And this is after an inner struggle that you write about. You had some drug addiction problems when you were in high school, got clean when you were at Harvard.
Right.
Studying at Harvard, landing pretty much a dream post-grad job at 17 Magazine as an editor. So something was making you reach. You know, some part of you was aware of being bright and desirable. What made you vulnerable to Connor?
Well, you know, I think if you met me at the time, you'd say this is not somebody with any self-esteem problems. This is a confident, feminist young woman, and she's the last person on earth who's going to be beaten. And I would have told you that myself, that I would never stay with a man who beats me. But I think I was vulnerable. I think in some ways, you know, reading Crazy Love is a painful experience because there's so many times as a reader that you want to just scream out, stop. And one of the first times was the night that I met him. And we were both on the subway together, and everybody else got off the train, and I refused to move away from him, even though he was a stranger, because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a red flag, that I put somebody else's, a complete stranger's feelings over my own safety. So I think that one thing that made me vulnerable is that I was really nice, and I was really like a good girl who, again, was really didn't know very much about the dangers of falling in love with somebody with a really troubled past, which Connor did have. He had been terribly abused, like Chris Brown, mm-hmm. as a child. And he had witnessed his mother being beaten, which is another kind of abuse. Yeah. And I just didn't know. I had no clue how damaged he was. And I was probably too confident in my ability to help him.
This behavior is modeled oftentimes inside of families. And you've spoken with many people about this, and in the book you write about speaking with experts. And one expert on domestic violence confirmed your feelings that Connor wouldn't have beat you if he didn't love you. I mean, really? That sounds like he only beats me because he loves me. You know, I mean, we've heard that kind of refrain. I mean, that would infuriate somebody who's trying to protect people from domestic abuse.
I think if you don't really understand domestic violence, it would enrage you. To hear a victim say that. But it's true that that love and violence in Connor's mind and in his heart and soul went together. And also, it's not a coincidence that he didn't start abusing me until we were very committed to each other. It's a very common thing for somebody to start the violence when the woman is already very dependent upon him and has less of a chance of leaving.
But that he really loved you. I mean, do you believe that he really loved you even though he was abusing you?
I don't believe that he wanted to abuse me. I don't think he set out to do that. I think he was a very troubled person. And I think in his own way, he loved me and I loved him. That having been said, I have no wish to romanticize my own relationship or anybody else's abuse. It was his responsibility to not beat me. And I think that one thing that our society really needs to do is to examine why on earth anybody would physically abuse someone who loves them, whether mm-hmm. it's their wife or their partner or their children. That's what we need to understand in order to really solve domestic violence in this country.
We're talking with Leslie Morgensteiner. Her memoir, Crazy Love, tells the story of her first marriage to an abusive man. She's now a very successful blogger, columnist, and editor of the best-selling anthology, Mommy Wars. Well, this is one of the things that, you know, after the Chris Brown, Rhiannon incident, and then after that, this recently, I guess it was in August, that she spoke with Oprah and said, you know, she felt badly for him. Who's going to help him? And there were all kinds of remarks flying around, you know, the blogosphere, everything about, you know, why are you protecting him? Why, you know, maybe he deserves your compassion, but your love. Are there any other kind of violent acts or crimes where you think, oh, you know, the poor arsonist, you know, you're somehow complicit? How does this play out, this kind of who's the victim and who's the victimizer?
I have so much sympathy for both Rihanna and Chris Brown. And I think that Rihanna is really brave to be talking about it and speaking out. I myself literally couldn't speak about it until I'd been out of the relationship for about 5 years. But it is really complicated. And I think the easy answer is to try to demonize the perpetrators, the abusers. But that's not going to get us very far. And in my case, I still feel sorry for Connor. He was horribly abused as a little boy. Put in the hospital many times with broken collarbone, broken arms, broken ribs. He was a little kid who was hurt, who grew up to not understand that violence and love and intimacy don't go together. And he needs help and he needs to be held responsible. That's not the same as excusing what he did. Feeling sorry for somebody and having sympathy, but also keeping your distance, I think is what Rihanna is doing. And it's mm-hmm. what I have tried very much to do. And it's easier for me to feel compassion because I didn't have kids with Connor and I haven't talked to him in almost 20 years. If he were stalking me, if he were abusing my children, trust me, I'd be a lot less understanding.
The question, of course, people ask is, why doesn't she just leave him? So, Leslie, what did it take for you to finally leave this situation?
It took several things. Really, I would say the key things that happened was, one is that a couple of people confronted me about it, people who had an idea of what was going on, and they broke down my denial in a very gentle and non-judgmental way. I think they understood how very fragile I was at that point. And then also the last night that Connor and I were together, he beat me horrifically, far worse than anything that had happened before, and it was a two-hour beating. I was unconscious for a lot of it, and for the first time I really understood and felt that this person who I supposedly loved was capable of killing me. Mm. And it became a very clear choice that it was him or me. And I'm here today because I chose myself. And thank God I did. But there was nothing about it that was easy. And even after that terrible night where the police were involved and neighbors intervened, my family was involved, even after that night, believe it or not, it was still difficult to leave him. You know, I think we can't underestimate how strong the ties are in an abusive relationship.
Mm. You are now happily married with children. You have a summer place in a summer home on Lake Newfound, which
yes,
we're happy
to
have you here.
This is my home away from home. I love New Hampshire deeply.
But were you afraid that in publishing this book, you would cause problems at home?
Oh, I was terrified. I was really afraid that Connor would somehow come out of the past and be angry that I had dared to speak out. I also, my current husband, who I've been married to for 17 years, is a very private person, and he did not, I mean, I don't think there's any man who wants their wife to write a book about her first marriage, but he definitely would have rather that I didn't. And I was worried about my kids, too. My kids are teenagers now, but they were younger then, and, you know, there were a lot of people who questioned whether this was the right thing to do, and I questioned it, but I really felt like I had an obligation to speak out because I had made it out. Because I didn't have children, and because I'm a writer, and I felt an obligation to tell this story.
And now you are a board member for the One Love Foundation. You work with the National Domestic Violence Hotline and one of the nation's oldest shelters for abused women and children. So you were in it, not quite knowing how to get out. What is your hope now for women, and men for that matter, who are being abused?
Right. And I think it's important to say that men can be victims too, as adults and also quite commonly as children. 15 million children witness domestic violence every year or are abused, and a lot of those are kids. So this is not a women's-only issue by any stretch. My hope is that we don't shame victims and that we offer them compassion and understanding, and we don't deny that what is happening to them is a crime. I hope that our society starts to focus much, much more on batterers, because I think it's you can understand why somebody like me, why anybody stays with someone who they feel they love. What you can't understand is why Connor did that to me. And I think that that's where we have to move as a society, is focus on batterers and have them go to the shelters when they batter, have them go to jail, have family courts understand much more the dynamics, because I think that that's really where we need to move toward. And so that is my hope, not just for victims, but for the perpetrators as well.
I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for giving this airtime.
Leslie Morgensteiner, columnist and author of the best-selling memoir, Crazy Love. For more on Leslie and on the book, go to wordofmouthradio.org.